We pray that the Lord would meet with us this morning, bless His Word. We were so inspired during our revival meeting by the message that Brother Aaron Brown preached about being one in Christ. It seems like the Lord's just been talking to me ever since, and I want to share some of those things with you all. I believe that they're very... This is something Jesus wanted. I wrote on the board, one in Christ. And I believe that Jesus wants us to be one. He wants us to be one with Himself. He wants us to be one with our spouse. And He wants us to be one with the people of God. And the Lord longs for that. When He was, just before He was leaving this earth, the last prayer that we have that I know He said, Father, forgive them and such as that. But the last real prayer that we have here that Jesus prayed was in the 17th chapter of John. And Jesus said that He was praying for those that believe on the apostles' words that they would take to people, and He said that they all may be one. I'm sorry, 17 and 21, I'm not sure what I said. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one. I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them, and hast loved Me. You know, there's something there that Jesus prayed for, and He knew the gravity of what He was saying when He said these words. And I appreciated the Sunday school lesson this morning about some of these very thoughts, not on oneness really, but on forgiveness and dealing with one another and things like that. I appreciated that. You know, the Lord, I believe, has a path to oneness through His Spirit that is a great witness to the world. Because we are people, we live in this world, we are going to have conflicts. Is that true? We are going to have conflicts. We are going to have conflicts. We find it in the Scriptures even. We find Paul, and maybe in a later lesson I'll bring that out a little more, but you know, Paul and Barnabas had quite a conflict about taking Mark with them, didn't they? And it says the contention was so sharp that they went separate ways. I don't believe they broke fellowship. There's no indication of that. But they had a difference they couldn't work through as far as what was going to happen with taking Mark with them on this trip. You know what? We're no different. We are people. And there are going to be some things that we are going to have to work through. And the very fact that we can have fellowship with one another and love one another is one of the strongest witnesses there is that Jesus Christ came to deliver man from sin. I really believe that. The fact that we can love one another. Now, folks, I know this starts in our own self with God, it starts in our home, all of those places. But do you know that is, Jesus said that another place, that by this shall all men know that you are My disciples, if you have love one to another. Amen. Do you know this morning that these elements are, they're amazing elements. I don't know how else to say it. That's pretty common language. But do you know, in the world today, the world is so splintered up that they cannot work together. because they have all these little elements within the heart of their grasping for wrong, their grasping for their own way, their selfishness, their unforgiveness, their hatred. Do you know that that splinters the ability? We have a great nation here, don't we? But it can't do anything right now. Do you know why? Because of people's things in their own hearts and lives. And that's all. That's the reason. Because if we would all seek the Lord and seek only the good of the whole, I believe we could get some things done in this nation, don't you?
Amen.
Really do. I believe things could happen that would amaze the world. And it has been that way at times. But you know, this morning, I just want to think about this that the Lord prayed so earnestly for. It was on his mind just before he was taken. It was on his mind. This is something he really longed for. And he said that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, that they might be one. You know, we have to strive and grapple for this. That's why Jesus prayed for it, because he knew that it was not just going to flow down to us. We're going to have to work through our humanity. We're going to have to work through things. Saved and sanctified, we're still going to have to work through things. And so this morning, I just want to bring a few little thoughts. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me, and I want to share it. I want the Lord to give us, and I want it to start in me. I want him to give us a greater oneness. I want him to give us the glory that Jesus said that God had given him, and he wanted us to have some of that glory, some of that power, some of that dignity that makes people be at one and in peace. Isn't that amazing? The Lord wants to give us that from God in heaven. And so he prayed for that. And you know, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 13, some of these I'm just going to mention and keep moving. But it says, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And that was the part that when I felt like the Lord started turning me this way, that phrase came to my mind. I had to look it up. And be at peace among yourselves. You know, that seems like such a small thing to say, be at peace. Why would the Lord say, why would he inspire that? Be at peace among yourselves. Isn't that a given? Well, not really. It's a given to know that. It's not a given for that to be the case. And so he says to be at peace among yourselves. And you know, the scriptures tell us, 1 Corinthians 12 and 27, I'm just going to mention a few scriptures. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And I want to later talk about how the body works and what its job is and things. But right now, I want to, you know, there are things that has to happen before other things happen sometimes. If you're going to build a house, there's got to be a footing first, and then a floor. And you're not going to have a house until you get that. And so that is a part of the work that has to be done, putting in that footing, putting in the pre-work, the plumbing in the floor itself, and then you can do what everybody sees, and that's the house. And so he says to us, you are the body. He said, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And if you read 1 Corinthians 12 and read it, because Lord willing, I want to go over that at another setting. But he talks about the hand, the foot, the eye. Do you know it's all a part of the body? And he tells us that we are members in particular. We each one have a place in this body. And the Lord wants us to fit into that place, in our proper place. And he wants it to be a blessing to the whole. And, you know, and it talks about the body, you know, that the hand can't say, what does it say to the foot or something? I have no need of you. There isn't anything like that, is there? But the body, if it's going to work right, it all works together, doesn't it?
Amen.
Now, there's these diseases that can cause the body to attack itself. And then the body can't do really anything at that point much. Is that right? You know what? But that happens. But you know what? The Lord has work for the body to do. And He has a place for all of us in that. And He has to be able to cause the body first to be able to all work toward the same goal. And in order to do that, folks, there are some basic, most basic elements that have to be in place. That is that we have peace among ourselves. You know, we have to forgive to have peace. We heard about forgiveness this morning. The real kind of forgiveness. We have to have that if we're going to love and if we're going to work together. And so, in 1 Peter 4 and 8, and I want to turn there. Peter tells us here, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Do you know this morning, this is something that we must strive for, that we must fight for, because it will be Satan working through our flesh that will stop us from this. And when we're stopped from this, we're stopped from being effective as a body, at least as effective as we ought to be. He says here, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Now, we all know what love is, don't we, to some degree. But the word fervent means intent. If you look, I want to read what Clark says about that. He says, intense love. Have fervent charity. Intense love. For love shall cover a multitude of sins. A loving disposition leads us to pass by the faults of others, to forgive offenses against ourselves, and to excuse and lessen as far as is consistent with truth. We're not talking about excusing things that cannot be excused, but as far as is consistent with truth, the transgressions of men. It does not mean that our love to others will induce God to pardon our offenses. You know, these are things that we are going to have to win within ourselves. If we're going to love everyone else with a pure heart, fervently, intently, boiling with a fervent and a strong love, we're going to have to overcome some things, aren't we? We're going to have to overcome some things. We're going to have to let some things go that would stop us from doing that. And that's what the devil wants to do. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us, let's lay this foundation. Because I started out not even thinking in this vein at all. I was thinking about the building, the body, the hands, how it works and all of those things. And I feel like the Lord just pointed me back to this, started giving me some things here. You know, these basic elements, folks, every one of us is going to have to really put this into our heart. We get these things by getting on our knees or on our face or however before God and getting a hold of the grace of God until He gives us fervent love. How else do we get it? We can't get it because, well, okay, I see that they were right after all. Folks, sometimes we just don't think they were right. They don't think we were right. Is that true? That's the way conflict happens. Everybody thinks they're right. Well, how are you gonna get through that? I will tell you how. Let's get on our face before God until we love one another with a pure heart fervently. Until there isn't anything that keeps us from our heart of love and prayers and working as much as possible together and doing those things. This morning, I want to look at the end of the first chapter at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So he wants to tell us something, because he's listed through chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians all the gifts and a bunch of the gifts and all that, how it works and how necessary even the little parts are that aren't seen, and all of those things. And he brings those things out. And then he says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I'm going to show unto you a more excellent way. Because he goes on to say then, verse chapter 13 and 1, which it wasn't divided when he wrote it, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Do you know, if we don't get a hold of the grace of God, that we can have fervent love between all of us with our differences of ideas and things and happenings and all of those things, do you know that that comes from God? Because I don't think it's within man to always be able to do that. That's why Jesus said, everybody's going to know that you're my disciples when they see this. You know what? The Lord wants us to be at one. And so he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if I could be the most eloquent person there was, and you know I'm not, but you know what? If I could be, and I don't have charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Do you know, in our own home, we can be the most amazing businessman in the world? We can make billions in the world. And if we don't have charity, it can reduce us to nothing. We lose our family, our wife, our husband, our children. And how many times have we seen these on the national world stage? And they leave their family. And it's like, what are you doing? And you think all these billions and all this that you're doing is worth running off and leaving children to themselves? You think that's going to be the worthwhile thing? I'll say not. I would say that though they could do all those things and not have charity at home, they're nothing. They're nothing, and I wouldn't trade them. I wouldn't even think of the trade, folks, because I know a little about charity, a little about love, and I know a little about what it brings. This takes God, folks. It takes the Lord helping us to get on our knees, and when there are some things, I know the Lord wants us to see eye to eye. But I want to tell you something, there's going to be some things that we're not going to all see exactly alike. And some groups try to make that happen by saying, everybody do exactly what the pastor says, and then the next pastor comes in and it's all different. And you know, that happens, doesn't it? That's a problem, isn't it? I'm not talking, I believe the Lord wants to lead us to a place where we all see eye to eye when it comes to doctrine. I believe the Lord wants to take us from where we're at, our misunderstandings, our lack of understanding, and he wants us to love each other right where we're at and cause us to grow in the Lord until we come to that place where we see eye to eye on all those things. I believe the Lord wants that. And if we'll let him take us there, he'll take us there. It'll be the flesh that doesn't let us go there. But folks, all of these things happen. See, sometimes we just center in on, well, there's a problem here, there's a difference there. Listen, God has work for his body to do. This body isn't made for no reason. He plans for this body to be born as a baby, but he plans for it to grow up as a man or a woman. And he plans it to have responsibilities. And he plans it to be active and working and happy. The Lord wants to give that to each one of us. So this morning, Though we have the gift of prophecy and all of those things, and though we could be as eloquent as anybody in the world, and we don't have charity, we don't have anything. And if we were the most pure congregation there is doctrinally, and we don't have love, we don't have anything. There isn't anything we have if we don't start with the basic things. Everything else builds on that. And these things bring us oneness. They bring us unity between one another. And I have seen, you know what, folks? The Lord can cause people to love each other just because of Him. And He will, and He does. I thank the Lord this morning for God's grace, His power, His love, His body, His work, the glory of God that He shares with His people. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, verse 3, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. If I go to the mission field and I give my body to be burned, it's not worth anything if I don't love my wife. Do you know that? We don't have charity. Charity's a condition of the heart. If we have it, the Lord expects it to go all through His work and His body, and that's the way the body works together. That's the way it works. That's how somebody can get saved and they not have any understanding, and we can have perfect fellowship with them. Isn't that beautiful this morning? And they don't see it like we do. But as they walk with God, and we love them, and they love us, and we all love the Lord leads them, doesn't He? That's what He does. Thank the Lord this morning. That takes time too, doesn't it? Charity suffereth long and is kind. This is what we're talking about here. Charity suffereth long and is kind. And we're told to have fervent charity among ourselves. that we're fervent in these ways. That we're intent in these ways. And that we get the grace of God to be these ways. Is that all right? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You know what charity is like? Charity wants everybody to be up. That's what charity does. It wants everybody to be up. Puffed up means it wants me to be up and others to be down. But the Lord wants everybody to be up. And His people that have His love wants everybody to be up. And we all are in that part of it. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't act out of character of a Christian. That's self, isn't it? That's selfishness that does that, not charity. It seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity. You know, these are things we have to work at, don't we? Because it's easy to look for the worst sometimes. If we feel like we've been let down a few times, we have to work on ourselves, don't we? That's what charity is. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Believeth, beareth all things, believeth all things. I'm telling you, the saints are pretty amazing people because they'll do this. The saints will. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You know, Sister Sylvia had a world of knowledge in almost 90 years. Do you know she had a lot of things she could tell us. But it's gone now. It's vanished away. I want to tell you something. When we live a life that's full of love and charity and good works, that lingers behind us, doesn't it? And that does for her. I think about that. I love that. Romans 12:9 tells us, Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is in good, which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Do you know what dissimulation is? It's hypocrisy. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. So does that mean that if I don't feel strong feelings of love, I should not tell somebody, have a nice day? It's just the opposite. I've been challenged on that before by people, and more than one. I want to tell you something. The Lord wants us to show love, whether we feel it or not. He wants us to have enough love in our heart that we're willing to go the extra mile when our feelings haven't caught up yet. And our feelings will catch up. And God's grace will catch us up. You know the Lord wants us to do good and do good all the time. But let it be without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is that I really don't love you. I really don't want your good. I really don't... I really do hate. I really do wish evil for you. That would be hypocrisy, wouldn't it? Let our love be real. I want to read Clark again, and I've been trying not to read too much of his in service all the time, but I want to read another one. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. It is difficult to give a simple translation of the original. The word signifies that affectionate regard which every Christian should feel for another as being members of the same mystical body. Hence, it is emphatically termed the love of the brethren. When William Penn, that's what that word means, brotherly love. That word is Philadelphia. It means brotherly love. And so he says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And Clark goes on here, when William Penn of deservedly famous memory made a treaty with the Indians in North America and purchased from them a large woody tract, which after its own nature and his name he called Pennsylvania, he built a city on it and peopled it with Christians of his own denomination and called the city from the word in the text Philadelphia, an appellation which it then bore with strict propriety and still bears the name. The word which we translate kindly affection signifies that tender and indescribable affection which a mother bears to her child and which almost all creatures manifest towards their young. And the word joined to it signifies to delight in it. Feel the tenderest affection towards each other and delight to feel it. Love a brother Christian with the affection of a natural brother. Now, I know you probably didn't catch all of that, but this morning, I believe we catch the gist. That is that we love one another. By this shall all men know, that's John 13:35. That ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Tertullian quoted the Gentiles, saying, "See," said they, "how they love one another and are ready to lay down their lives for each other." So this morning, that's our heritage. That's where everything else comes from. We're able to go from there and do the work of the Lord. And so I love that this morning. I have told you this before, and I still say it. When the Lord called me to this place, one of the most amazing things of all was this. We all know the affection, most of us, all of us that have had children, know what it's like to feel the love toward your own child. It's different. It's different. When you have your own little child, you might care for everybody, but there's just something different about your own little child. And you know what? The Lord put that in my heart when I came here, for every single one, no matter what. He put that in there, as a mother has for her children. And that's one of the things that most amazed me, was that the Lord did that. You know, this morning, the Lord does those things for us, doesn't He? And He makes us an extension of His own self and His own arm. And the Lord help us to love one another. In Colossians 3 and 13, we read where Paul tells them here, to me, Colossians 3 and Ephesians 4 are two chapters that give the menu of life, the menu of a happy, godly life is found in these two chapters. But he says here, forbearing one another. Well, we'll start in 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Do you know this morning, we all know this is not always easy to do. But it is the privilege of God's people to have this kind of love. And above all these things, let's see, where was I? Forbearing one another, that means not doing what you would have done, not saying what you would have said. And forgiving one another, that means turning it loose. You know what? We have to do that. If any man have a quarrel against, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And do you know that Christ forgave us, not because we were worthy, but because of His love for us. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on charity. This is the privilege of the people of God. Do you know, I have seen people, and you have seen people, that are so bound with the chains of bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred that they can't even have a good day, hardly, because every day it comes back. All the time. Every time they see that person, every time they think of those people, and generally it don't stop with one. It goes on, doesn't it? It's a condition. And the Lord wants us to repent of that condition. Forgive. Allow the Lord to give us, pray until we pray through. Pray until we say, Lord, I know that I can love now. I know that you can give me that. Do you know that we have to pray for ourselves? Sometimes we have to fast for ourselves. Sometimes we have to, Lord, I know that's our privilege and I know that's what you have for us. Do you know this morning that the Lord wants that to be the case today? In all of us, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Lord, help us this morning that we will bear and forbear, that we'll have the kind of love that instead of constant aggravations and burrs and things like that, I will tell you, I have watched those things take people out the back door for good because they did not get the grace of God to have love instead of those burrs and instead of those aggravations, instead of those things that keep coming back to the mind. Do you know there's a fix for that? It's the Lord. We're one in Christ, and that's the only way it works. We humble ourselves to the Lord. Lord, I need help here. You ever told the Lord you need help? I urge you to do that. I'm sure all of us have. I have many times. Lord, I need help. I need help. I need you to help me. And I found that when we seek the Lord like that, He does help us. And He gives us that victory that overcomes the world, that overcomes our difficulties in our marriage or whatever we have. Every one of us have to overcome those things. I'm not speaking Greek here. Every one of us have to overcome those places until true love can reign and rule and we can be at one, and then it sets the stage to be able to work through differences and things like that. But that love has to be there first in order for that to work. Fervent charity, to be at one. The Lord help us to bear with one another's faults, to take that way of forbearing, to take the way of forbearing in our marriage. You know, we have, I know we talked about that last week, and so I'm not going to go there much. But I will tell you, God put us in that place for us to learn how to be in this place here together this morning. And so he teaches us through many, many things. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That schism is a split or a gap or a division, a rent. In the scriptures, it's used like this. The rent is made worse. There was a division among the people. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And in Corinthians, it says, this is 11 and 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. You know, Clark says to that, there be divisions among you. They had schisms among them. The old parties were kept up, even in the place where they were assembled, where they assembled to eat the Lord's Supper. The Paulians, the Kepites, and the Apollonians, those followers of Apollos, of course, continued to be distinct parties and ate their meals separately, even in the same house. You know, I find that marriages are like that. I find that people are like that. And the Lord wants us to come to a place where there's not those kind of divisions and rents in our heart or in our life. And I'm not saying this because of particular situations. Folks, we have available to us amazing, as David said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We have that available to us, and the Lord wants to give that to us. And it is very pleasant, and it is very good, and it is very wholesome. And so the Lord help each one of us, me included, to search my heart. Lord, I want to be at one. I want to be at peace, and I want to be one of those that we work together, we pull together, we can pull heavy loads together. We can do that, can't we? And that takes work. It takes making sure that when those little things want to get in our hearts and want to come up every time we think of somebody or see something or whatever, the Lord wants us to be able, by His power and by His grace, to have the kind of grace to love fervently in its place. And I believe in that, and I appreciate that this morning. And I appreciate the blessing that the Lord wants to give us through those things. The body is one. It is one living organism. And the Lord wants to live in this body. And He wants to use it in a wonderful way to bless the world. And we don't know what all the Lord will do, but it comes, and I believe that we release the flowing of the Spirit of God. Amen. When we come to that place. As Psalms 133, where David talks about being pleasant and all of that, says, there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And that was on that mountain. And how all that ties together, I don't know, but it all ties together, doesn't it? There's a blessing that the Lord commands upon that kind of unity. And there's a blessing in our homes. There's a blessing between us when we allow the Lord to work in those ways. And that is, we get the grace of God to live this way. Y'all pray for me. I want to live by these words too.